And amen. Who's the man this morning? Good morning. Good morning. My name is Miles. I'm the pastor of the Rock. Welcome to church this morning. Why don't you take a second, say hello to someone next to you, ask them where they live, what they do. Morning, everyone. Let's see your Bibles. Word. Let's see your pens. Amen. Your lesson plan. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19. Quick reminder, Easter morning, we will be at Cox Arena. One service, the whole church, one service that whole weekend. It's in your bulletin. And Good Friday will also be at Cox Arena for a concert Friday night. So we just want to remind you that those services are not for us. You know what I mean by that? It means you're invited. But you want to invite a friend. You all know Jesus died and rose from the dead on Easter. Okay? We all know what that means. So let's invite somebody who needs to benefit from that resurrection. That's what I mean by not for us. So definitely come, but bring somebody. Be praying about who you want to bring. Easter is probably the most attended, the easiest day to get people to go to church. So if there's somebody you want to bring to church, that's the day. Because people almost feel sinful to say no on Easter. Like, yeah, I guess I got to go on Easter. All right, I'll go. So test it out. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for goodness. Thank you for Sunday being here again. And we pray you bless us this morning. And I pray we can bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to imagine in your mind a line of people, millions over here, stand in line one by one, going over a cliff to death, one at a time. Then I want you to imagine another line over here, a lot less people, millions, this is millions, that are going to heaven. They can see each other, they can hear each other. Okay, so a line over here, billions going over a cliff to hell, a line over here, millions going to heaven. Now, if you're saved, you're in this line. As a church, we are in this line. Doesn't mean everybody who's in here today is in this line, but as a church, we're in this line. Our job and responsibility, numero uno, is to get people from this line to this line. End of story. That's why we're here. We're here to get equipped so we can get people from that line over to this line. Now, in our culture, many people in our culture, United States of America, Christians believe that once they get in this line, everything's supposed to be smooth and they don't want to be inconvenienced. They don't want their life ruffled. They want everything to be comfortable. That is not the Bible. Don't bother me. Don't ask me to do nothing. I'm going to heaven. That's their problem. That's not the Bible. The Bible says we need to get people from that line over to this line. Today we have a ministry fair. It's right behind this wall. That means that if you walk out that door and make a left and a left, you'll be in the room. If you walk out that door, make a right and a right, you'll be in the room. The ministry fair is right behind this wall. And how we are position to get people from this line over to this line in the most efficient way is to get as many people in ministry as possible. And the ministry fair is there to give you opportunities to do that. Now, we're looking in the book of Leviticus. Everyone say Leviticus. The key word in Leviticus is what? Starts with H. Holy. Say it with confidence. Holy. Very good. One more time. Holy. Say it again. Holy. Very good. The key word is holiness or holy. The name of the series that we're going through is Holify, the process of becoming holy. If you remember, the Jews are at Mount Sinai. Moses is going up to the mountain a couple of times. God told him the design of the tabernacle, all these different rules. And today we're going to look at chapter 19 to 20. Now, we've been seeing over and over again God giving Moses all these rules of how they should worship God, how they should do sacrifices, what their sexual practices should be, et cetera, et cetera. What the priest who the priests are and how they should be consecrated as priests, ordained as priests. Today we're going to look at something different. When I was, my son was 10, 11, 12, 13, something like that. He played 3 years of Pop Warner football, and I was a coach. Very stressful being a coach, just because it is. But I remember the first year I was the coach, and actually this happened every year, but more the first year than ever. We went through training camp. They call it Hell Week, if you will. A lot of running, putting in the basic plays, drills, find out what position, who's going to play what. And then you have your first game. It was scary because now you have your uniform on. There's another team over there want to kill you. You have the referees. You got people watching. They want to see what you've learned. And the frustrating thing for a coach is that you can't go out and play. You have to let the kids do the playing. You have to stand on the sideline, watch, yell, and scream, and have a heart attack. The same is true in the Bible. God says, here are the rules. I'm going to give it all to you in this book. The Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving earth is the Bible. And it is now your job to do it. The title of today's message is called Law and Order. God gives the law and the people keep the order. God gives the law and the people keep the order. It is our responsibility, and I say our, all of us in here, to apply and live the law that God has given us. And so what we're going to look at today is some of those principles. Now, part of doing that is serving one another. You can't live out God's law / be a functioning, healthy, productive Christian, which I assume all of you want to be. You cannot do that without being engaged with other people. Let me say it differently, not engaged to other people. Interacting with other people. Serving other people. Service is not an option for a Christian in the Bible. Maybe in the church you came from. Maybe in your own concept in your mind, but not in the Bible. Serving in God's kingdom in some way according to the gifts that God has given you is not an option. For one reason, that's the only way people are going to hear the gospel if we all open our mouth or do something. The other way, that's the best way for you to grow as a Christian. It's amazing when God made the earth, he made, the first thing he did is he created light, and then he made water and dirt. Dirt is a very amazing thing. When you were a kid, your mother said, don't eat dirt. Did anybody's mother say that? Don't eat dirt. Well, in reality, your mom didn't know what she was talking about. Let me back up. She did kinda, but she didn't kinda. See, all the nutrients that you need to live are in the dirt. Matter of fact, all us guys, we were made from the dirt. We are dirt bags. All the ladies say hey. Now, all you ladies on the other hand, you were made from the man, so you're a riblet. But because we were made from the dirt, all the nutrients that we need to live is in the dirt. So what God did, because you can't eat straight dirt, you would die. God made plants, fruits and vegetables, to take the nutrients out of the dirt, process them, so you can eat the fruits and vegetables and get the nutrients out of dirt in a way you can digest them. Are you following me? That's how God did it. So he didn't want you eating dirt. He made you, you know, oranges, and then he color-coded everything. Orange, red, yellow, green, blue. I mean, you laugh, but he did. Okay? Because we're hard-headed. But what the fruits and vegetables do is they take the nutrients out of the dirt, they process them, and prepare them to be digested by us. That's all they do. When you hear the word of God, when you pray, you go to church, you are supposed to process the truth and then share it with somebody else. That's your job. Now, if you're over in this line getting all this processed stuff and you're getting all ripe and you don't share it, you're going to rot. You'll be one of those Christians that know everything, but you don't tell nobody because you just, you know, I'm just above that. I just don't do that. And why are they doing that? Because all you're going to do is talk to yourself. And you're going to end up gossiping because you know so much. No, we want to be where we are constantly infiltrating that line because everybody in that line does not want to be in that line. They might not know it, but they do not want to be in that line because what they get at the end is hell. Everyone say hell. Does anybody in here want to go to hell? Does anybody in here know anybody who wants to go to hell? No, you don't. Okay, so we're going to look at three things. In your notes, number one, write down. Care for those who need caring. Just write down, care for those who need caring, and we'll read chapter 19, verse 9. Whenever you read in the Old Testament these rules, these do's and don'ts, you have to understand, you want to ask God to give you discernment on what God is trying to communicate about his heart. You will see, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And a lot of stuff doesn't apply to us because we don't have vineyards and farms or whatever. But really what God is communicating is his heart. We're going to look at that. Look what it says in verse 10. Verse 10 says, chapter 19, verse 9. It says, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Now, if you had a vineyard or an orchard, and you pulled an apple off a tree, and another apple fell on the ground, what God is saying is that apple on the ground, don't pick it up. Leave it there. So when the poor people come behind you, they can take that for free. Gleaning is taking what fell off the tree, off the vine, on the ground. Gleaning is taking what fell off behind. If you ever say, I'm going to glean some things from you, what you're doing is you're taking someone's overflow wisdom and you're learning from them. So if you're a farmer and he says, if you take an apple off the tree, this is God talking now, put the apple in the bag, but if two fall on the ground, don't hoard them to yourself. Let it be there for the poor. What God's heart is, what he's trying to say, don't be greedy. That's all he's trying to say. Because you might say, well, I don't have an orchard, so this don't apply to me. Oh, yeah, it does. All the stuff you own, don't be greedy. How many of y'all have clothes in your closet that you don't wear? Be honest. Raise your hand. Let's try this one more time. Let's go on three. One, two, three. How many clothes you don't wear? Thank you. Thousands. Clothes sitting there. Do you know how many people need clothes today in San Diego, in Tijuana? Thousands. God says, don't hoard it to yourself. Well, what do you want me to do? What I want you to do. We have a ministry here to give clothes away. Just bring it here. Now, the people who run that ministry are going, oh, my gosh. Last year, they gave out 60,000 articles of clothing. And here's the beautiful thing about it. You didn't even know it, a lot of you. Imagine. And by the way, don't bring it all next week because they may be overwhelmed. But my point is this. There are places you can take it. You can call the church and tell them you're going to bring it. Tell us you're going to bring it. Because we give it away to all these different ministries and all these different places that need them. Your house. Can God share your house with you? Can God borrow your living room once a week for a small group? Your car, your money, your expertise, your skill. We need 100 people to sing in a choir and sing in worship teams. You can sing. You can play an instrument. We have an art ministry, Radiance. It was on the Rock TV. They're using art to reach out to the art community. What a great idea. Well, guess what? Maybe you can paint. Well, I can paint. Well, step up and paint. Maybe you can't paint or do whatever art they do. Join them anyway and learn. Maybe you want to learn. There's so many ways you can step up and please don't be offended by this, but be challenged and stop hoarding everything of yours to you, even your time. I don't have time. I can barely spend time with myself. You know, there's 7,500 kids in foster care in San Diego. And we have a vision to give every single one of them a mentor. Why can't we? We can. Maybe not today. Last year, there were 400 kids on the list. We had over 400 people sign up to be their mentors. 255 of those people did not follow through for whatever reason. Let's not do that again. Let's say, I want to be a mentor 1 hour a week. Give a piece of your heart to a young person who has no parents living with them, not their real parents anyway. junior high ministry, high school ministry, Pebbles. A lot of y'all have your kids in Pebbles. Have you ever thought about saying once a month, once every 6 weeks, saying, I want to volunteer? It's really not hard. And you'd be so blessed to not only be there with your child, but other children, and pay back the favor and the ministry that was paid to you by taking care of your child. What an amazing, amazing opportunity for you to see the other side of ministry. My point is this: don't hoard everything you have to yourself. And that's exactly what God is trying to say here. Don't be what they call selfish. Because everything you have, I gave to you. And I don't want to take it from you. I'd rather you give it. I'd rather you share it. Number two in your notes. It says, respect those who want respect. Care for those who want need caring. Respect for those who want respect. In other words, treat people the way you want to be treated. Do the basics. Let's look what the basics are. Verse 11 says, do not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. Verse 12, don't swear by my name, nor shall you profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. You shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. If you owe someone something, pay him today. Simple. Simple. Look what it says next. Verse 14. You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear God. I am the Lord. Don't treat the handicapped with disrespect. Make provision. Be nice. Sounds kind of basic. Look what it says next. Verse 15. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In the righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Don't be a gossip. Everyone say gossip. The next time you find yourself gossiping, the next time you find yourself listening to gossip, you know what you should say to yourself? Say what? Say what? Thank you. Say what? Let me say it. Say, what shall I say to myself, Pastor? It's a rough crowd today. Next time you hear someone gossiping, or you start listening to gossip, or you start gossiping yourself, you should ask yourself, why am I so insecure? Because that's the only reason you're gossiping. Because you want to feel better about yourself by tearing someone else down. God's saying, don't do it. Look what it says next. Verse 17, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor, nor bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of Israel, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now, you read those things and they're kind of basic, but do we do them? If you did all those things all the time and keep reading the whole chapter, you would be so different from everybody else. What God is trying to say is just give people the respect you want. You know, we have a ministry to a disabled ministry. They pick people up all around San Diego. They go to homes where they live and minister to them. They bring them to church. They need people to drive. They need people to minister to them. All kind of handicaps. Maybe that's you. We have a ministry to people in convalescent homes. I have two grandmothers. And one lived about 3/4 of a mile from me. I walked by her house every day. I went to school and from first grade through high school. And we went there for, you know, Thanksgiving, all the whole thing. And I had a dream last night that I was driving through my neighborhood. And I was driving by her house. And light was on. And I said, I'm going to go visit grandma. This was real to me. It was like I was really happening. And as soon as I parked my car, I remembered she was dead. And I started crying in my dream. And I started, man, grandma's dead. Do you know how there are 10,000 grandmas and grandpas in convalescent homes or certain type care homes in San Diego, 39 facilities. And we have a ministry that goes to 3 a week. They want to do 7 days a week. They had 170 people get saved in the last 2 years. That's almost 2 a week. You have any idea how amazing that is? Amen. Maybe, and by the way, they can't run from you. They're not going to curse you out. They're going to be so glad you came. There was a guy who went to see his grandmother, and he was so nervous, and he felt guilty because he hadn't seen his grandmother in so long. He went to convalescent. And the whole time he's sitting there, he's just nibbling on these peanuts that's next to her wheelchair. He eat the peanuts, the whole thing. He goes, "Oh, Grandma, I'm so sorry I ate all your peanuts." "Oh, that's okay. I just sucked the chocolate off of them." "So if you go, don't eat the peanuts, okay?" We have prison ministry. All the services go down are shown in the prison, down in the prison. But there's a whole lot of other prisons we can be in if we have more people to go into prisons and minister to these people, do worship for them. We have people go to prison all the time in the church. That may be you. There's ministry in there that you can go to. Step Up Ministry, deaf foster care. We're trying to start a home where deaf kids who are in the foster system can go to a home and live with their siblings. There are no such places in San Diego, as far as I know. And there's a young lady here who wants to start one. Start with one and get as many as we can in San Diego. Right behind that wall, my challenge to you is to ask yourself, what does God want you to do? Because he does want you to do something. We have a book. You can get online. We got a book. Pick a book up here. Pray about where you want to go. But let me challenge you not to do nothing. In Israel, there's two seas. There's the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. Sea of Galilee is north of the Dead Sea. Sea of Galilee is up north, Jordan River, Dead Sea at the bottom. The Dead Sea is the lowest point on the earth. The Dead Sea has no living thing in it. Everything's dead. That's why they call it the Dead Sea. Sea of Galilee has water that comes in and water that goes out. Has a lot of life in it. Dead Sea collects water, but no water goes out. It just hoards it all to itself. It's dead. No circulation. Same thing with your Christianity. If it's all just for you, you're going to be your growth is going to be stunted. Your knowledge, you may learn knowledge, but your spiritual life will be right there, be stunted. Your prayer life, stunted. But when you start to let God use you, which is what you were made for, then your spiritual life will be vibrant and alive and relative and powerful. Matter of fact, if you took your arm, a very healthy arm, hand, leg, ankle, any joint in your body, and stopped moving it. Let's say this arm is real healthy right here, okay? Leap tall building is single bound. You took this arm and you put it in a sling for a week and never moved it. After a week, it would be all messed up. It'd be stiff, atrophy, the muscles would deteriorate, and I would have to exercise just to get it back to be normal. Because our body was not made to not move. It was made to move and move against resistance. That's the only way you can stay healthy is if you keep moving. And if you want to just minimal exercise, minimal movement, you are not as healthy as you could be if you just moved a little more. Same thing with your Christian life. If your Christian life is just, oh, go to church. Okay, then you go home and you put it on the shelf. And then next Sunday morning, you pick it up and bring it back to church. And then go home, you put it on the shelf again. It's going to be like a little atrophied, stiff arm. Good for nothing. But if you take your Christianity and say, okay, God, what you want to do? Oh, my goodness. You'll be so much more alive. Your prayer life will be so much more alive. You'll be so much more effective to help people. And if we as a church are going to get a whole lot of people from that line over to this line, and is it a race? Yes. Why? Because the clock is ticking. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. Someone asked me yesterday, he says, you know, do you want Jesus to come back? I said, not yet. Not yet. I hope he waits years. Why? Because if he came back today, all the people we can get saved tomorrow won't get saved. So I like, you know, I still got a lot of stuff I want to do. I want to see, you know, millions get saved. So I don't want them to come back yet. Some of your family members, if he came back today, they would go to hell. So you should be not praying that Christ come back now. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't pray he doesn't come back. We should be praying that those people get saved. Amen? Amen. Hopefully that's amen for you. Hopefully. Number three, correct those who require correcting. Part of our responsibility is not only to care for people, respect people, encourage people, minister to people, but it's also to correct people. When there are wolves in sheep's clothes, and that's what I mean by that, people lurking in the church who are really there to do people harm, guess whose responsibility it is to snoop them out? All of y'all. We got people in here that are here for evil. We got people here that are here for harm. We've been approached. We get approached regularly, and we have people here watching those people. Matter of fact, that's why we have the martial arts ministry. I mean, you laugh. We do have a martial arts ministry. People trained to jack other people up. I'm not making fun. I mean, I know I'm funny, but I'm not trying to be funny. And it is a ministry. If you want to learn martial arts, ladies, if you want to learn how to defend yourself, go to the martial arts ministry. You know, if a guy gives you any hint, jack him up. Right? You should be able to go, pow, and know how to do that. And then you can pray for him. Lay hands on him. But look what it says in verse 20. I mean, chapter 20. I'm not trying to be funny, but just speaking truth of the word of God. Verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, again, you shall say to the children of Israel, whoever of the children of Israel or the strangers who dwell in Israel, who gives any of his descendants to Moloch. Moloch was a pagan god where they burned their children to him. He shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. Here's what God told Moses. Moses, this is the people's responsibility to watch themselves, police themselves, encourage and hold accountable themselves. Don't raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you a question, and then I'm going to do this. But don't raise your hand. How many of you would love accountability?
I won't say anything, okay?
All of us.
People say, well, the church is so big, I don't really know anybody.
Yeah. Come on, if you go to a church of 100 people, you still ain't going to know nobody because you don't get involved. Whether you're in a church of 100, 100,000, you're only going to know about 10 people anyway. That's why we have what we call small groups. Why? Because they're small. We have 130 small groups. Our goal this year is to double to 230. And then after that, we want to keep growing. Why? Because we want to get as many people in small groups as possible so you can have accountability, so you can talk more about the sermons, so you can get to know who people are, so you can have a relationship, so you can ask somebody to ask you how you're doing. But if you think coming to church by yourself, flowing in and floating out is going to do it, I can tell you now it ain't going to do it. And yeah, you can go to another church. But if you do that, it ain't going to do it either. It's all about small groups, and that's where we can hold each other accountable so we don't have to stone you. We had a seminar here. You saw it on the Rock TV marriage seminar. Started last week. It's going to be 11 more weeks. If you're married, you need to go. They're teaching the basics of marriage. What we want to do is set up mentors, marriage mentors. If you're married, you got a halfway decent marriage, you don't fight every week, maybe you can mentor somebody. You know what a blessing it would be for you to tell somebody what you know about marriage? Do you know how many divorces you can save by just telling young people how to be married? And I'm going to give you one piece of advice that'll work that will save your marriage 100% of the time. It's very simple. Guys, whatever your wife says, you just do. For real, if your wife asks for something, just do it. Ladies, whatever your husband asks you, you do it. You serve each other. Don't give each other any lip. Don't ever argue. Just shut your mouth. If you something you don't like, just hug each other. And then kiss. And say, I'm mad at you. And then kiss. Don't argue. Me and my wife, we do that every day. We kiss every day. We have a care and concern ministry, Stephen's ministry, where people counsel other people, people encourage other people who just had a loss in their family or in their life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have all these ministries. I can go on, but I really can't go on because I don't have time, but there's all these ministries and it's right behind that wall. So here's my encouragement to you because I'm done. I want to send you out here early so we don't get caught up in the traffic. I want to encourage you to go in there and pray about what God wants you to do so we can get all these people from this line, as many as possible, over to this line, as fast as possible. Why? Because one day Jesus is going to come back, and you're going to stand before him. You're going to see how powerful and awesome he is, and probably not because we're going to be in heaven, but if you could think, you're going to go, man, why didn't I trust him? Why didn't I tell people about him? What was I so scared of? You'd be amazed at how the devil makes you scared of stuff that doesn't even exist. So let's all bow for a word of prayer. Oh, by the way, if you have Girl Scout cookies, how many girls here? I know that there's girls who have Girl Scout cookies. We want to make it available. You can bring them here next week, and we want to encourage you to bring them so you can sell your extra Girl Scout cookies, because I'm a big proponent of the Girl Scout cookie thing. So I was asked to say that by a Girl Scout. So just bring them, come in your little uniform, and then we'll hook you up outside, and people will buy your cookies from you. Lord, I just pray we would be challenged by your Holy Spirit and be led by your Holy Spirit to what ministry you want us to serve in. And I know because it's Bible and from experience that our lives are transformed when we allow you to minister through us. So I pray you would challenge us and lead us to the right place. And I pray for those who are scared and nervous right now that it's not hard to go into the room and at least look. So I pray they go in there and you lead them to the right ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's what you can do. You can go out either door.